Amen. All right. Well, we're in Revelation 14. Revelation 14, and it is Easter, and has absolutely nothing to do with bunnies laying eggs. Okay, nothing at all. In fact, if you had a bunny that laid an egg, that would be an amazing thing, and I would be your agent. I will represent you. We'll go make enough money to take care of the drives. Amen. But anyway, praise the Lord for Easter. Praise the Lord that Jesus rose again. If you are interested in a kind of a unique study, we'll be doing that, finishing that off tonight, talking about Jesus being crucified on Wednesday. It's Good Wednesday, not Good Friday, and how he could not possibly have been crucified on Friday. Again, I'm not mad, you know, if somebody believes one way, and we don't mind taking days off, you know. But definitely positively can prove it could not have been Friday. We'll talk about that tonight. And why I believe it was Wednesday. Again, we're not mad at anybody that believes differently, certainly if you want to. You know, the main thing about all of it is, number one, Jesus died to pay for our sins. Number two, he rose again to give us eternal life. This isn't it. Aren't you glad? This isn't it. And, you know, I hope your this is good. I hope you're happy. I hope you're having a good time and rejoicing. But guess what? It's not it. Amen. I'm going to preach about that sort of this morning. But we're in Revelation 14, and we're having a good time in Revelation. We just went through a tough time, really. Number four, Roman numeral four, the message of the third angel. Boy, that's a tough, tough message. All the way up to verse 12. If you need this lesson, raise your hand. We want to make sure you get those. Brother Harnden is on top of it. Him and Perry are on top of it. Lesson number 31 is what we're on. But we're going through this assortment of messages. And these messages are kind of unique in and of themselves. It does stand out. I've heard Revelation taught on before, and they kind of get glossed over. But I don't like to gloss over. And that's why this study has been several years along even now, and we're not anywhere near done. So we're just kind of trying to cover everything that we possibly can. So let's go ahead and have a word of prayer, and then we'll get started. Thank you so much, Father, for rising from the grave. Thank you for defeating death, and Lord, that we can have life, and we can not only have life, eternal life, but we can have abundant life right here on this earth. Thank you so much for being our God. Bless now this time. Make it profitable to us. Challenge us with your word, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Our verse, Revelation 15:3, a great verse to memorize. Let's go ahead and say it a couple of times. We'll say the reference and the verse and then the reference and begin. Revelation 15:3, and they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. Revelation 15:3. And again, Revelation 15:3. And they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. Revelation 15:3. Father, bless the preaching, bless the teaching, bless everything we do now. May your will be done in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we are on Roman numeral 4 and the message of the third angel. Again, it's a loud voice. It is the last hellfire and damnation message to the lost during the tribulation. Again, this is a something that people are hearing. It's like the angel that is flying around the world in the sky, flying around preaching the gospel, how to be saved. Again, we don't understand how all that works, but that is what Scripture says. Here is another loud voice. This is a hellfire and damnation message, and I repeat, as I did last week, we need more hellfire and damnation preaching because hell is real. Damnation is coming. And during the tribulation, again, it is very interesting. We have the 144,000 going out and preaching. We have the two witnesses preaching. And then we have angels preaching. And that is kind of a new thing and a different thing. The subject is verse 10. The Bible talks about first of all God's wrath, and and this is the word that we talked about. It is poured out without mixture. Very important. And again, I'm repeating what I already talked about. I don't want to spend a lot of time on it, but it is without mixture. That means it's God's undiluted wrath. And, right now, God's wrath, we certainly would have to say it seems to be diluted. It seems to be God is holding back. It seems to be, but there's bad things. And, there's a lot of things that happen because whatsoever man soweth, that shall he reap. We're reaping what we've sown. We continue to do that. That's a lot of stuff. But God is holding back his wrath. In the tribulation time, God will not hold back his wrath. God's wrath will be poured out. The whole world is wanting everybody to get the idea, oh, God is just a God of love and flowers and lilies and all that. And you know what? There is no greater love than God's love. You cannot beat God's love. But God also is angry. Amen. And he has a right to be. And so God's wrath is seen, torment is seen in verse 10, talking about tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels. And there is torment. We have this idea today that, hell is here on this earth. There is absolutely no way in this world that there's anything close to hell here on this earth. And the Bible's very clear about that. And so torment. And then eternal. The word eternal is used. The idea of eternality. The smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever. To me, that's one of the worst things about hell. It never ends. It just doesn't end. And the Bible says there's no rest. The second part of verse 11. No peace, no rest, no comfort. Day or night, never, never, never away. And again, nobody has to go to hell because Jesus died on the cross so that we could be saved from that terrible, terrible place. But then you have a contrast as we move on now into verse 12. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. And so in the midst of all this, a terrible, terrible tribulation, in the midst of weeping and wailing and people being cast into a lake of fire, into hell, and all the tribulation, the wrath of God poured out, in the midst of all, we have saved people who are patient. Patient as they observe this judgment. Patient as they line up to have their heads cut off. We've already talked about their own persecution that is taking place. Patient as they perhaps starve to death because they can't buy or sell because they don't have the mark of the beast. The patience of the saints. I love that. I really do. And I could just preach a whole message right on that, right there. Patience. Patience. I love that word. It means to remain under. It means if you're pressed down and the weight of a trial, the weight of trouble, the weight of sorrow, it's just pushing you. Just stay right there. Just take it. Just be patient. And here, I love the way here is the patience of the saints. They're watching people die of terrible, terrible, the wrath of God. And they're watching people being judged on the world, and they're patient while they wait for the Lord Jesus Christ. It will be a horrible, horrible existence. You and I can't even begin to imagine what that's like. And yet the people, the Bible says, they're patient. And again, you have to understand, in the midst of watching these people suffer and die, they themselves are suffering and dying, but they're patient. Why? Why should we be patient? Well, because this isn't it. Dee and I were talking about that before Sunday school class. This isn't it. Amen? This isn't the end here. Why should I be patient? Well, because up from the grave he arose. That's why. Why? Yeah, but preacher, I mean, you don't understand how. I know, but God just said, just be patient. Just be patient. Okay, we may have another 10 years. We may have 20 years. We may not, this group right here, we may not see the rapture take place in our day as far as coming from here. You know, we might get to experience what it is to die from here. You know, it's very possible. Just be patient, because to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Amen. Be patient. I know we all like the rapture to take place, right? I mean, that's exciting. I don't know. Something about floating kind of bothers me a little going through this. You know, that kind of bothers me just a tad. But you know what? Just be patient. By the way, once you've seen all that brown, nasty water like we saw from the roof leaking and everything, you know, passing through the roof seems like that'd be kind of gross. But we know God's got it under control. But, you know, we just be patient. Be patient. Here, I mean, all this terrible stuff, everything that's going on from this message of the third angel, here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God. Here they are. And the faith of Jesus. Here's the ones. Here's a bunch of people. They've trusted Jesus Christ in the midst of tribulation. Here's a bunch of folks. They've called upon Jesus. They're trying to do right in the midst of tribulation. Hey, let's be honest. It's tough sometimes to do right when things are going good. They're doing right in the midst of tribulation, and they're just being patient. Be patient, folks. Be patient. As we celebrate Easter, let's understand that we celebrate a risen Savior. Amen. Amen. And because He lives, we too shall live if we're saved. Number five, we have the message of the Holy Spirit, Revelation 14 and verse 13. And I heard the voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. Kind of a takeoff from verse 12, but a whole other voice, and that's why I call this number five, the message of the Holy Spirit. Now, it is very interesting. You read the commentaries about verse 13, and I heard the voice from heaven saying unto me, and there are some that say that that voice is another angel. There are some that say that is the Father. There are some, you know, there's all kinds of different ideas. Personally, I think this is the Holy Spirit because of the way it's written here. I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. And then it continues, yea, saith the Spirit. Now, that's kind of what I think. Not many commentaries agree with me. Again, Revelation is one of those books where there's a lot of subjectivity. The Bible doesn't say exactly all of that. But the main thing, really, that we want to focus on here is the message itself. Now, obviously, the Holy Spirit is involved. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors. And so, I do want to talk a little bit about that. But the key thing is the subject. The subject here is absolutely essential. And again, we're following a terrible subject. We're following the judgment of God, the wrath of God, the anger of God, the punishment of God. And we're following that with, okay, well, what happens to the saved people? Now, folks, I got news for you. It's always good for the saved people. From God's standpoint, it's always good. And we know that all things work together for good, okay, to them that love God. We know that all things work together for good. There, you can compare over and over again. Well, those are wicked people, and they're making millions and millions. Yeah, I know. They got nice cars. I understand. And look at some of the stuff we drive. Yeah, right. Oh, they got these beautiful mansions. I know, I understand what you're saying, but it's always better for us. Amen. It always is better. And as we come into this this part, you know, verse 13, we recognize that even though the saints, the saved people in the tribulation are suffering greatly, God's saying, you know what, it's going to be okay. And even though we're kind of watching stuff happen around us, right? And we're seeing all kinds of awful things that kind of go against what we believe and go against what we think. And we're watching our government do some very odd things. And even the city of Adrian, they're doing some real odd stuff. Like this anti-discrimination ordinance they're trying to pass. Probably will. You know, this will make us, you know, recognized in the state. Oh, it'll recognize us, all right. But it's all stuff we don't like. It's all stuff we just, what is going on? Why? Hey, God, what are you, you know, but you know what? God said it's going to be okay. It's all right. I got it under control. And so this message of the Holy Spirit is what I call it. We see rejoicing, we see resting, and we see reaping. You know, those are all good things. Amen. Tell your face to smile. It'll be okay. Rejoicing, resting, and reaping. Everything about that's good. Nothing about that is bad. Again, this is in the midst of trouble. The reason I really like this verse is because I'm gonna, and I kind of drifted out of my outline just a little bit to talk about the Holy Spirit and how the context here. What is the difference between the saints who are in the tribulation? Remember, they're not able to buy or sell. Whatever they eat, I don't know how they're getting food. I don't know what's happening. You know, there's all kinds of fiction material out there, and everybody has their different thoughts, and I have my thoughts, obviously, you know, for survival during that day. But they're you know, they're suffering. There's a lot of things. How in the world could, you know, you even talk about rejoicing and resting and reaping? Well, remember, here's the patience of the saints. But here's the Holy Spirit, who is the comforter. He is the paraclete. Amen. That means comforter. He runs alongside us and he encourages us and he puts his arm around and he helps us and he is the comforter. Okay, say, you say, yeah, but that's talking about tribulation. It's talking about you and me now. Same Holy Spirit. Same Holy Spirit in the tribulation who will give comfort to the saints. He's the same Holy Spirit who gives comfort to you. Same Holy Spirit, doesn't matter what's going on in your life. Doesn't matter, it can be at a cemetery. Amen. It can be in a hospital. Praise the Lord. It can be in somebody's home. It can be with your head on your pillow, wet with tears. He's the same Holy Spirit who gives us comfort. When times are difficult, same Holy Spirit in the tribulation as people are hurting. They're watching their loved ones. You have to understand, they're watching their loved ones suffer. And they're watching people die. And they're seeing things happen. The same Holy Spirit is giving comfort to them. Patience isn't just on us, is it? It's not just, we're not all alone. Oh, I just have to stay. No, you're not all by yourself. Patience is with the Holy Spirit of God with his arms around you saying, I love you. I'm going to take care of you. I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. Because how many times in our trouble do we say, I just feel like I'm all alone. He's saying, you're not alone. I'm here. Oh, the precious Holy Spirit, how many times he has been with me when I needed him desperately to be my comforter. And so his emphasis, I think, is on comforting. Again, I mentioned rejoicing, resting, and reaping. But you know, he does make the threat of death from persecution a whole lot less troubling. As you think about the Christians, they're going to die. You know, they're going to die in the tribulation. They're going to die of starvation, or they're going to have their heads cut off, whatever. I mean, they're going to die. And yet, as the Antichrist is coming on the TV or whatever mode is being used during that day, as he's broadcasting, we are going to kill all the Christians, it has to be a blessing to know that, well, you know what? If you kill me, I am going to go to heaven. I think it was John R. Rice. Somebody threatened him one time and said, I'll kill you. And he said, don't threaten me with heaven. And so you're starving, or you have nowhere to live, or you're sick, and you're going through the tribulation and the plagues. You know, all this stuff affects you, and things are tough, and it's bad, and then the Antichrist comes on. We're rounding people. We're going to chop off your head. And you know what? To be absent from my head is to be present with the Lord. And to be away from sinus problems, to be rid of my glaucoma, to be done with asthma. Are you listening? Okay, all the aches and pains, they're going to be gone. And so, again, no, we don't want to die, okay? Don't want to die. Amen. But you know what? It is refreshing to know that the Comforter says, I got it all under control. And all of a sudden, we get it in our hearts and our minds that, hey, God has this under control, and I'm going to be okay. And the message of the Holy Spirit, it says in verse 13, I heard the voice from heaven. It's a voice. And the voice, it says, write. So John, again, we go way back several years ago when we started this. John, you need to write this down. Write it down, you know. Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Now, certainly that could be true at any time, but he says, write it down. Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord. You know, death in the Lord. And that brings me to my first point under this, and that's rejoicing. The Holy Spirit's going to talk about rejoicing. He wants us to rejoice. I get so frustrated with God's people sometimes. There seems to be, sometimes there's more griping than rejoicing. You know, we want to complain instead of rejoice. And this year, I have really been trying to focus on rejoice, 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 rejoice. Praise the Lord. He inhabiteth the praises of Israel. And I want God to do something. So I'm going to praise him more and praise him more. And then the snow would fall. And then the drifting would take place. And then, you know, things are happening. And it's like, okay, boy, I just can't believe they're forecasting. Wait, who made it snow? Who's in control of all that? Oh, praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the snow. Amen. Amen. Rejoicing. What's it say? It says blessed. What's that mean? Happy. Anytime you see blessed, you know, the Beatitudes, be happy. You're blessed. Be happy. Happy. Blessed are the dead which die. So happy in the midst of the tribulation. Happy. Really, yeah. Death for those who are in the Lord, they're blessed. You know, they should be happy. Death is not something that we have to fear. Death is not something that we have to, oh, yeah, it certainly we can look at it as our enemy. The Bible calls it our enemy, and I'll be preaching about that this morning. But hey, we can still be happy in the midst of the tribulation. You've heard me say this many, many times. What's the worst thing that can happen to us? We die and go to heaven. Again, I'm not going to walk in front of a train today. I'm not looking for it. But that is still the worst thing. So let's just rejoice. Look what it says. 1 Thessalonians 4. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 13. See, the problem, the reason it takes so long to get through this is there's just so much preaching. And I just can't help it. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 13, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. I suppose every funeral I have done, maybe in all my years of being a pastor, 31 years I've been a pastor, and I guess every funeral I've done, I've read this passage of Scripture, either in the service or at the cemetery, because it says that ye sorrow not, okay? I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. Now, he doesn't say don't sorrow. He says don't sorrow like folks that have no hope. It's a different sorrow. I mean, we miss people. I miss my mom. We were talking about her the other day. You know, my birthday. Mom always made birthday special. Me, it's another day. You know, but mom, it was just always special. My wife tries to do all that stuff. She convinces the kids that the candle that doesn't blow out, the tablecloth that says happy birthday, the little hats, the singing of happy birthday, wherever you are, restaurant or anything, getting everybody to join in. You know, all she convinces everybody, this is wonderful. And we all talk about it and say it's for mom. But I was thinking about my mom, you know. But I can't sorrow. You know, I can't. I miss her. There is a sorrow there, but I'm not gonna. There is hope. I'll see mom again someday, and she won't have Alzheimer's disease. Amen. I'll see my dad again someday, and he won't have COPD. I'll see my father-in-law again, and he won't have COPD. I'll see, you know, so many folks again, and there is a sorrow, but it's not the same. For if why? Well, verse 14. If we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with them. With him. Amen. Amen. They don't you love the way God talks about death for the Christian? Sleep in Jesus. Now, that's not the weird soul sleep of some cults that believe that. That's just how God calls it. He describes it as, you know, it's not so bad. By the way, I like to sleep. Amen. The older I get, the more I like to sleep. I just enjoy sleep. I go to bed at night. So you usually try to go to bed around 10 o'clock, and I like to sleep. I just really do. Brenda, she likes to sleep. And, you know, when I was a kid, I didn't like to sleep, but now I do. And so God says, all right, here's death for you. So sleep. Really? Really? Without somebody calling? Yeah. You mean without my cell phone go texting? I'm not going to get any text. No, you don't need a cell phone down in the grave. You know? But again, we know that that's what it is. Absent from the body is present with the Lord, and I understand. So he just says it's just sleep. You know, isn't it amazing how we fear such a blessed event? I'm going to talk about that again this morning. It's funny how these lessons tie in. You know, and I didn't. I'd love to take credit for that, but I didn't. But you know, it's amazing how we fear such a blessed event as going to heaven. Sometimes I look at obituaries. A lot of times I try to avoid them. It seems like every time I start looking at a lot of obituaries, somebody I know dies, and so I know there's no such thing as luck. And I don't. But pastor, stay away from the obituaries. All right, but. It's amazing, you know. I love when it starts out. So and so, such and such of somewhere went to be with the Lord, or went to heaven, or graduated to heaven, or something like that. And I like that because you know there is a rejoicing. Ushers, if you'll come, that'll bring rejoicing. Giving money always brings rejoicing. And you guys just go ahead and pass out the plates, and I'm gonna wind things up here with a couple of verses. But it's interesting. And amazing how we fear such a wonderful event. Look at Philippians 1, verse 23. And I hope you write these verses down. These are so good. And I go fast, sort of. Philippians chapter 1, verse 23. Philippians 1, 23. For I am in a strait betwixt two. See, Paul, and I've preached on this before, and I get it in my mind, and I see it. You know, I'm in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. See what he says? He said, I'm really struggling. Now, again, this is as he gets older. He said, I'm really struggling with this thing, as if we really control it, right? But he said, I'm really struggling. And he said, you know, I have a desire to depart, to be with Christ, which is far better. Let's all, we don't even need to vote. I think I know your vote. Which is better? You know, is it better to be here with our eye problems and our hearing problems and our aches and our pains and all the garbage that goes on in our own sin that we have to deal with? Is it better here, or would we better to be in heaven? Amen. Amen. With our mansion and mine on the corner of Glory Boulevard and Hallelujah Lane with my pond of chocolate in the back. Glory to God. God, or is it maybe a chocolate river? I don't know, but I see it, you know, and a sugar lick in the front. Praise the Lord. Amen? Which is better? I mean, really, with Jesus. That's better. He's the Holy Spirit saying, be spiritual. Yeah, but wow, which is better? You know, that's what Paul said. But here's the thing. He said this, verse 24, and please never forget this as a Christian, because I have counseled with many, especially elderly folks, who say, why has God let me? Why am I here? Why am I here? Well, here's what Paul said. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. God knows somebody needs you. Yeah. Yeah, you know, we've all said it, right? God, it just seems like it makes more sense for you just take me to heaven. No. Paul recognized it. That's why it's a straight between. That's why it's again, not because we necessarily have control over the thing, but it's so clear to me that it should be how we feel. Man, I'm ready, but somebody needs me. Oh, I'm ready to go, but you may not think anybody needs you. Somebody needs you. Somebody's counting on you. Somebody's looking towards you. Somebody's watching you. You're helping somebody. You say, how do you know? Because you're here. Because the one who controls, who started your heartbeat, he can end your heartbeat. And he hadn't ended your heartbeat. And as long as that heart's beating, he's got something for you to do. Praise the Lord. Doesn't matter. You say, but I can't do all that I could. You don't have to do all that you could. You talk about a guy wrestling with that. I wrestle with that all the time. I can't do all that I could. But I don't have to do all that I could. I have to do what he wants me to do. And that's all that any of us have to do. And so you long for heaven, and I can rejoice about heaven, but, and I close with Psalm 118, verse 17, just in case anybody starts thinking, I'm going to run in front of a train, or I'm going to fly somewhere that's dangerous, or I'm going to... Psalm 118, verse 17 is a verse I've given out over and over and over again. And the psalmist says this, I shall not die but live and declare the works of the Lord. I shall not die. So you take every gasp you can. You just keep going, because I shall not die but live and declare the works of the Lord. God needs some folks to be rejoicing and praising him and thanking him and talking about him. God is looking to you to do that, as they will in the tribulation, which would be better. They've got they're malnourished, they're suffering, they're being threatened, they're going to have their heads cut off when they get caught, whatever. Well, you know, it seems like it. God would just, he'll take them. He'll take them when it's time, and he'll take us when it's time as well. And the fact that you're living, it's not time. So keep on going for Jesus.